This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
The northern parts of Kenya are among the least developed areas in the country. More than 90% of the roughly 1.2 million residents live below the absolute poverty line. The majority of the population is dependent on food aid. And due to the arid climate and lack of natural resources, the main source of livelihood for people in these areas is nomadic animal husbandry. Climate change, however, is leading to increasingly frequent droughts and unpredictable precipitation patterns, which result in greater scarcity of natural resources. This has in turn increased competition within the expanding population for the remaining grazing areas and water resources, and thus exacerbates existing conflicts within communities.
Four more people have lost their lives following the ongoing conflict between pastoral communities from Isiolo County and their neighbors. Now, the residents and their leaders want the Ministry of Interior to supplement the county's efforts to restore calm in the deadly storm.
Fighting against the recurrent drought situation, which not only leads to death of livestock, but also inter-community conflicts.
I spoke to my colleague, Helen Chikanda, who traveled by road to Isiolo to unravel the climate change crisis and speak to the families directly affected by the conflicts that emanate from time to time. My name is Kevin Miner. This is the stories behind the story. Helen, hi.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I am very, very well. You're looking good today.
Thank you.
Climate wars, how desperate search for water lures families to death. You published this on August 30th. Tell me about this story.
So stories have been told about drought happening in Kenya's arid and semi-arid lands, that is in northern Kenya.
Right.
And we've seen non-governmental organizations like the Kenya Red Cross taking food there. But we have not told stories of how these people are living, the effect. We've told it from the food insecurity. Mm-hmm. We've told it from malnutrition, but we've not told the story of the impact they do on a daily life. Mm-hmm. So I thought, like, what happens when they go out in search of water now that water is scarce in that area?
Right.
What is it that they go through? How long do they walk to get there? And when they get there, what happens?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is how I came up with the idea that maybe there is war over there.
Right.
Yeah. And this is the story of the deadly search of water.
So, we were talking earlier, you spent a week in this region.
Yes.
Just to be clear, this was Isiolo?
Yes, this was Isiolo.
You spent a week in this area. Before we even get into the story, I just want... You're from Nairobi.
Yeah.
You are going to Isiolo.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the experience of going there, getting there. Where were you staying?
Mm-hmm.
How safe were you?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you with? Just give me a picture of that situation.
First of all, I went by road.
Okay.
And Isiolo is very far.
Mm-hmm.
That means I crossed so many counties from Nairobi to like Kipia County, Isiolo.
Yeah.
I crossed so many counties to get to Isiolo. Very dry, and there's a sort of a sandstorm. So when you get there, you have to be prepared to cover your eyes all the time,
mm-hmm.
if you don't have sunglasses.
Right.
So it's very dry. There's no water. When you have a car, like I was inside the Kenya Red Cross vehicle.
Right.
And the residents there just stop you to get water if you have it. So it's courteous to just give them water because there's no water. You're their only source of hope. That means you always have to carry something extra when you go to such places, also for yourself and for the people there. Mm.
In your story, you started very well with a story of a young kid who's 13 years old.
Yes.
His name is Lorot Ekalale.
Yes.
A beautiful name.
Mm-hmm.
And you use him as an anchor character to sort of show a dispute between these two communities.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me a bit about Ekalale, mm-hmm. as you describe in your story.
Okay. So Ekalale is this young boy that we can say he is alive by the grace of God. Because he woke up one morning, left his mother's home and went with 50 goats in search of water. But when he got there, after getting water, of course, at Ewasonyiro River, he was shot in the stomach, and he doesn't remember what happened next, but he remembers walking out of the river and strolling just a bit and then falling down. He doesn't remember who came to rescue him, but he was in hospital for 3 months. So when we got to their home, he was a bit shy. He doesn't speak good Kiswahili or English because he's not in school. So his older brother is the one who translated this. So he was a bit shy. He had just been at home for just a week and was still trying to acclimatize from hospital to now home and getting to terms with the injury that he has on his stomach. So he was there with his parents, his mother mostly, because the dad is a bit old and unwell. And then this same family has lost two people, two brothers. And we were there, we saw the graves. And when the brother told us this story, that they were also killed the same way that Ekalale was almost killed, we were just shocked that this is really happening. People are dying because they are going out in search of water. And I'm like, what can the government do to help such families?
You mentioned he was shot just because he was in search for water.
Yeah.
Why? How?
It's sort of rivalry, inter-community rivalry.
Okay.
So Ekalale comes from the Turkana community, and he had gone to Ewasonyiro River, which is almost bordering the Samburu community.
Right.
And when he went there, they were, according to what he told us, there were Samburu people. He didn't see them, but that is what they believe, that the Samburu people shot him and then took away the goats that he had. He had gone to feed, like, in terms of pasture and then water now, because he was at this Ewasonyiro River.
Right.
So the Samburu people took their goats. That's what they believe happened.
So these are two communities that are at war with each other.
Yeah.
Is it because of a water source or?
Yeah, it's because of a water source, and also because they feel the other community is a bit privileged.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now different from this story, but still in the story that I wrote, some communities have been dug for a borehole, and the other communities do not have a borehole because I'm not sure, but according to what the chief told us, the other communities still have guns.
Mm-hmm.
So even for an NGO to get there, it is sort of insecure for them. So they can't dig a borehole for them. So this other side, that there's peace and they are not armed, there's a borehole and their animals have water and all, but it's only one borehole that feeds the whole community. So this other community will also come to this other side, and when they come, they get away with the animals of this other community.
I like that you bring in the chief. You had spoken earlier about trying to find out why hasn't the government done anything.
Yeah.
Well, how are these communities that don't even have water, how are they getting the guns to fight each other?
It's also a mystery to me that I tried to crack about how this other community has the guns. But I spoke to the community that doesn't have guns. I spoke to a lady called Margaret Soyo. She's the leader of the Nyumba Kumi now for Turkana community in Isiolo that I went to. And she told me in the year 2000, they all had guns, like both the Turkana community, Samburu community, like most of those communities over there. But the government asked them to surrender the guns for the sake of peace, because there was still that inter-community wars.
Right.
I'm not sure what it was about, but there was that inter-community war. And the Turkana community living in Isiolo surrendered the guns. That means they don't have any guns with them.
Right.
And when the other community that didn't surrender the gun comes to this other side, they are more empowered than these ones that do not have guns. And they were even asking for guns now that the other community has guns.
Yeah.
And in those sides, there's something called Kenya Police Reservists. Mm-hmm. These are local people armed and trained to use guns so that in case there's insecurity of any kind, mm-hmm. they are able to deal with it themselves. Not necessarily people from the national police, but mm-hmm. just locals. So they were asking either for guns mm-hmm. or their own Kenya police reservists.
Helen, as we close this, how many more families are going through this problem? How many more families have been affected or are living in fear every single day because of this kind of situation?
I can't put a number to that.
Right.
But in a location that I went to, there's mm-hmm. an absolute number that were affected. That is the ritual locations. They mm-hmm. told me about 10 people have been killed. But in Ngaremara ward, I spoke to 3 families whose relatives have been killed in that manner. Mm-hmm. And another sad story apart from Ekalalis is that of a 23-year-old woman, it's also in the story, whose husband was also killed in the same way. Mm-hmm. And she has a newborn. She doesn't have any source of income. She has no formal education. So she's just been left like that. And she doesn't know where to get money, where to get food for the baby, where to even fend for herself, just daily things.
Wow.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, you know, you just mentioned we have a new government. When you were there, was there a sense of, you know, change or hope now that, you know, we had a new election, they probably elected new leaders? Mm-hmm. Do you get that sense of, like, you know, maybe something, or maybe our new leaders might do something? I'm also curious, I'm also tempted to ask you, how long has this been going on?
It has been going on since 2020, because it's 3 years since the drought struck that place. But there's a sense of hope with the new government, especially the devolved government, the county government, because they are aware of what is happening in those areas. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming today, Helen.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you can get the story on nation.africa. Thanks to Helen for risking her life mm-hmm. so that we can get this story. Mm-hmm. You can get more on nation.africa. The story was published on 30th August, Tuesday. You can get it right there. And we have another story coming up.
Yeah, we have another story.
From this story. Yeah. Watch out for that. And yeah, see you next time.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.